to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
And when we have a cold open, that means only one thing. I didn't prep. We were running against the clock today. But it is Tuesday night, November 5th, 2019. Episode 616 of The Rant is officially live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media. RantEMRadio.com, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and a plethora of other platforms. Hi, everybody. I'm Double A, as always, being joined by Tony C.
What's going on?
And The Little Mermaid Live is currently airing on ABC.
Oh, God.
It's actually not that bad. It's one of those live plays that they do once a year or something. This one is presented by The Wonderful World of Disney.
So they took Blackish and mixed this all.
And The Conners.
For that. And The Conners.
Yep.
So no new TV this week.
Oh, except for this.
Kiss my entire ass.
And your entire ass. Not just a portion of it.
That's right. They could have did this on the weekend, on the Sunday night, when nobody's watching.
And they would have bumped America's Funniest Home Videos.
So? That show ain't been relevant since Bob Saget left.
I would agree with that.
I'm just saying, man. These damn network execs killing me. No new TV next Monday. Everything, all the CBS shows going to be in you know, they're going on hiatus for a week, I think.
Yeah. No new TV next week. Well, because...
Why is that?
I don't know. But it should be November sweeps. We're still a ways off away from Thanksgiving.
That's what I'm saying, man. And then Thanksgiving is late this year.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer it to be late.
I like it when it's that third, that fourth, the last week, but it falls on like the 24th, you know.
This year it's on the 28th.
Exactly. Oh. And Lee's birthday is this month.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
He's turning 40, I think.
40? Lee can't be 40. That's just as bad as when 40. Surfer turned 60.
Past 40. He approaching 50, I think.
No. Lee
graduated high school like 96.
I think Lee is going to be 40. I think
that
Lee
puts him
I think
18
Lee,
in 96, right?
Yeah, I think Lee was born in 1979.
So, I had it on the head.
Jesus. We're getting old, folks.
And remember, he said over the weekend he want a show.
Well,
he want a show back.
Well, we got our listen. Lee's gonna be a 41. That means Lee, you were born in 1978. So that means Lee experienced a little bit of the '70s.
Need to bring back old head. Just call it old head.
That's right. Look at that. So Lee was born in 78. Phil was born in 76?
Some seasoned folks around here, yo. Y'all been seeing a lot.
And you want to talk about seasoned folks. Surfer was born in what year? 68. I believe it was 1968. The year that the first Super Bowl.
He's in Vegas right now.
Yeah, he's in the air, and so is the plane. 1967.
Headed to Vegas
to gamble.
Some money on black. Always bet on black, surfer. In the words of Wesley Snipes.
Could you imagine surfer pulling up to the table? Yeah, how much you got to put down? What's the minimum bet you could put down? $200, sir. What? You don't have anything for $1.50?
What kind of shit is that, okay? I know you're going to have a Crown Royal bag full of pennies to play the pennies slot. You're going to be sitting, you're going to pull up.
Where can I change this? Tool. Where can I change this for dollars? Surfer, why is your suitcase so heavy? You're only going to be here for a couple of days. No, I brought all my loose change to gamble.
Okay. He gonna throw an extra large bag, Crown Royal bag, on the counter at the chip counter. How many chips I can get for these? Okay, can you tell me? Sir, I have to sit here and count out all this damn change.
Yep.
I'll wait.
he hit the big one. Surfer hit the big one.
Oh, my God, girl. Silver Surfer wins it big in Vegas.
Oh, man.
I can see him on that damn plane. Can I get some more room with my bag? Anyone sit in the seat?
You can move, sir. Okay. Oh, man. Could you imagine? You know, too bad Surfer's not here to talk about the controversy in Baltimore.
Oh, the stabbing at the chicken place?
The great stabbing debacle tragedy at Popeyes of Baltimore. Of the greater Baltimore area, excuse me, because it's not in Baltimore proper.
No, I wasn't there. That was probably in the rural part.
Well, I don't know. It was in, hold on, we'll find out right now. It was in one of those cities with a fancy name.
It wasn't in Prince George's County, I know that.
It was in Prince George, actually.
It was in Prince George.
Hold on, let me see here. Rogers.
First of all, champion, I knew you graduated in 96. I told you, I have cousins that's your age that graduated in the spring of 96. No, okay, you graduated in the spring of 96. I apologize, you're a year ahead of them. They graduated in the spring of 97. So they'll be 41. They'll be 40 this year.
Let's see here.
Le Champion. That's your new name.
I
thought about it.
Oxon Hill, Maryland, which is
a very high
which is in Prince George's County.
Yeah, in PG County.
So here's the story from the New York Times, okay? Authorities are searching for an unidentified man who they say fatally stabbed another man in an altercation while waiting for the new Popeye sandwich in Maryland on Monday night. The police are also searching for a woman who is wanted for questioning. Kevin Tyrell Davis, 28.
That sounds like a name right there.
Had cut in line designated specifically for the customers ordering the sandwich. When confronted by another customer once he reached the counter, Chief Hank Stonsky of the Prince George's Police Department said in a conference on Tuesday, an argument broke out, and seconds later, Mr. Davis was stabbed once in the upper body, the police said, adding that they had found the knife at the scene. The attacker and the woman fled the scene in a car. So we are looking for a brother and a sister at the Popeyes on the 6200 block of Livingston Road in Oxon Hill, Maryland. That's Prince George's County.
PG County. So, I'll try to watch the wire to see if I can see El Champion walking around Baltimore every time they.
Well, I text Lee and I basically told him, I said, please don't be this desperate.
Because he has been talking about that sound for weekend.
Oh, man. But could you imagine committing murder over a chicken sandwich? A chicken sandwich. And a sandwich that from what all accounts are saying, it's not the same as the one that was released a few months ago.
They didn't cut back on the product.
So.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
And AA, it is election day in some states.
Yes, it is. Well. Yes, it is. Does that mean John King is at the board?
You know it. He's Steve Kornacki.
Let me see here. Let me put on the cable news network. Oh, yeah, there it is. The key races. Oh, man.
Your president was in Kentucky last night stumping for some dude that looked like the dude lost who he was stumping for.
Yeah, well. Oxon Hill is an hour away. I don't know, Pop, or Lee. Sometimes people get desperate and they drive for food. I mean,
just to get a sandwich.
Listen, I drove 3 hours one time to get a burger. So, anyways. Unbelievable. Anyways, so, it's been interesting this week. Lots to talk about. We've got some things to go over. But, like always, we like to go around the room and see what's going on in everybody's personal lives. And Tony C., I know that you've been tickled to death this past week because a wrestling personality threatened litigation on live television and said that their people invented litigation.
They also did.
So what's been going on with you this past week?
Not only they invented it, he said something. Let me go find that line he said on Monday. About damn, because Brock Lesnar's advocate is a Jew.
That's right. That's exactly what he said.
It's getting real
racial.
Exactly. You got
or ethnic, maybe ethnic.
Then you got an interracial relationship going on the same show. It's getting very Jerry Springer like. It made me feel like I was watching the War Zone. Next time I do get into litigation, I am going to make sure I ask, are you Jewish? If and when I ever get in litigation, are you a Jew, sir? Because if you're not a Jew, I can't have you be my advocate.
Let me see here if I can queue up Raw from this past Monday. Let's see here. And if we can queue up the opening segment, which was the...
One thing. To make Brock Lesnar better than me? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Brock Lesnar is better than each and every single one of you. Brock Lesnar is better than each and every single one of you at home. Brock Lesnar is better than each and every one of those bitches in the back that think they're tough guys that could take on Brock Lesnar.
Now, I know the Jew thing happened before that, so let me rewind it.
Can't fire Brock Lesnar. And WWE has a substantial investment. And Brock Lesnar has to endure the benefit of that investment. So Brock Lesnar... We can draft consideration. Traded. Lesnar!
Here we go.
don't know, my client, Brock Lesnar, had enough of Friday Night SmackDown on Fox and has quit Friday Night SmackDown. My client, Brock Lesnar, has come to Monday Night Raw to hunt down Rey Mysterio. Now, a few weeks ago, right after the draft, Raw traded Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross to SmackDown for two future draft considerations. Brock Lesnar has a no-cut contract because he has a Jew for an advocate. And WWE can't fire Brock Lesnar. And WWE has a substantial investment in Brock Lesnar, has to endure the benefit of that investment. So Brock Lesnar's contract has been assigned to Monday Night Raw. That doesn't mean Roman Reigns can quit SmackDown. Doesn't mean Seth Rollins can quit Raw and switch brands. You want to know why? Because Brock Lesnar is different. Brock Lesnar has leverage. Brock Lesnar is special. Brock Lesnar is entitled to do whatever the hell he wants to do. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Does that make Brock Lesnar better than me? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Brock Lesnar is better than each and every single one of you. Brock Lesnar is better than each and every single one of you at home. Brock Lesnar is better than each and every one of those bitches in the back that think they're tough guys that can take on Brock Lesnar. Which brings me to my point. Someone here knows where Rey Mysterio is. So where's Rey Mysterio? Would you like Brock Lesnar to come over that rail and slap every man in this audience? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Hey, yo, I'm from Long Island. I'll slap him back. There's nobody that's man enough in this Coliseum, on Long Island, or in that locker room to slap back Brock Lesnar. And that includes Rey Mysterio, who wasn't mad enough to defend his punk son Dominic against the onslaught of the beast Brock Lesnar. Someone tonight is going to Sammy Gravano Rey Mysterio. They're going to give him up. They're going to stooge him off. They're going to rat him out. They're going to point him out. And Brock Lesnar is going to commit a felony against mi hermano cabrón Rey Mysterio. Or Brock Lesnar is going to turn the entire Nassau Coliseum inside out and upside down like an F5 has touched down here in New York. Domini, 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 Padre, Fili, Espiritu Santos, Amen. Tonight is the funeral of Rey Mysterio's career at the hands of the reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Heavyweight Champion of the World, Brock Lesnar!
They cut it out of this video. They cut it out.
Which part again?
The litigation part.
Oh, I'll have them tied up in so much litigation.
My people invented litigation.
Litigation.
Oh, boy.
That was on SmackDown.
That was on SmackDown?
Yeah, he said that on SmackDown.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I thought he said it last night on Raw.
Mm-mm. No, he just said last night. He just said Brock Lesnar represented by, because his advocate is a Jew.
Oh, man, that's great.
Getting real racy in WWE.
Yeah, and it's great.
Oh, yeah. Then they got, on Friday nights, you got a champion that walking around with a red belt on Blue Brand show.
Well, apparently the belt's been modified, and the belt will be revealed live tonight on WWE Backstage on FS1.
Oh, my God, Joe.
At 11 o'clock. So.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Okay.
So
I stand corrected.
Yes.
So you got to wait until 11 o'clock to see what the belt
but there, but
like.
There's already been, it's already been teased on social media. So.
So it's gonna, he's going to have a fiend belt?
Is no, it's just not going to be red.
Oh. Okay.
I think it has like a, the strap, the strap, the well, no, they can't do that because then it would look like the WWE title. It's got like a burnt, from what I saw, the strap is kind of burnt.
Oh,
like a burnt color. So we'll see. We'll see it tonight at 11 o'clock on FS1. But anyways, anything else happening with you, Tony C, this week?
No. Just taking it easy, you know. That's what happens when you're in litigation. You just got to take it easy until you get a phone call.
Okay.
Nothing else. Getting ready for Turkey Day. Figuring out.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for Turkey Day as well.
What you going to have on the menu? You
not
cooking?
Sure yet. Yeah, I always cook something. But I haven't ironed it down completely just yet.
Oh, and you gave, to let everybody know, Double A challenged me to find in Lex Luger's 1997 WCW title win more than one fanny pack.
No, I said for you to count how many fanny packs there were.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I only remember, I think the Big Show having on one and the Giant having on one. That's the only one I remember.
I believe I counted 4 fanny packs.
Who else had, who were the other 3?
Let me see here. I'm going to pull up the video. Because it,
But you were just having nostalgic moments.
No, I just happened, I was curious, and I went back to go watch to see how many fanny packs I could spot. And
now,
sure enough,
did you ever own a fanny pack?
No, I did not. I don't own a fanny pack.
For real?
No, I did not have a fanny pack on.
At least one?
No.
We had one.
All right, here we go. I had a fanny pack 20 years ago, but that was 20.
That's what I'm saying.
I had
back
20,
then.
But back then, well, I don't even know about back then.
When
maybe
they was
even
in.
maybe even before that. But
didn't Kevin Nash have a fanny pack on?
Oh, yeah.
With the tag team title?
Oh yeah. He's had a fanny pack.
I know he had a beep on. He tried to put his beep on the tag team title.
Yes. Yes, he did. All right. So here we go. Lex Luger.
He's the heavyweight champion of the world.
There's one.
It is celebration time in the Motor City.
The Giant has one.
It
looks like Prince Iaukea has one.
Get out. What the hell is Prince Iaukea need with a fanny pack?
Hold on. Because they move so fast in this video. Let's see. The Giant. There's Prince Iaukea. I believe that's El Dandy.
Oh, God.
Let's see here. Kenny Chaos. Mark Curtis.
Wow. Them folks really hate the NWA back then.
Hold on.
Champion of the world, live here on Nitro.
champion. I'll tell you something. This puts a heck of a dent in the NWO. This is a big step in reverse for them. But the way he manhandled Savage, Hall, Nash, and then went on.
I think that's it. That's four right there. I count. Oh, wait. Stevie Richards. That's five.
From Auburn Hills, outside Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, God. Stevie Richards.
One here. Now, you can say this. Maybe Luger's time.
Yeah, five fanny packs I counted.
Wow.
Look at the show of
five fanny packs.
Wow.
So.
Now, did you have a beeper back in the day, Douglas?
I did. I had a beeper in around 99, 2000, 2001, somewhere in there.
And then I was a senior in high school then.
Yeah, so was I.
2000.
I was a senior in high school in 2000, 2001.
Well,
I had gotten the beeper and I had a cell phone.
Okay, you had a cell phone. Okay.
I had a cell phone too.
Yeah,
I didn't have a two-way, no. Because in those days, cell phones were on minutes. So.
Of course.
So you didn't just.
There was no unlimited plan.
Yeah, you just didn't call somebody unless it was an emergency or something. Or you paged them and you said, call me when you get a chance type thing.
Then you got to a pay phone and say, somebody beat AA.
Something like that, or he got to a regular phone or a house phone.
Somebody beat AA.
Oh man, I had a beeper in 90. When did I get the beeper? I had a beeper in 98. I want to say 98, 99, and then until I got the cell phone, I had the two of them, and then by the time I finished high school, I just had the cell phone.
The two-way was awesome. Because, like, back in the day, we didn't want to talk to nobody. You just hit them on a two-way.
Yeah.
And somebody, some genius said, why don't we allow people to text from the phone? And you remember back in the day when you had to text from the phone, you had to hit the letter, hit the number, like, three times to get. Oh, my God, Joe. You'd be saying, okay, A, I want a B, so I got to hit one. No, I got to hit the number two times. Because one was always voicemail, just straight voicemail. If you had a Sprint flip phone, you were doing pretty good. Did you have a Nokia?
I had a
Nokia.
I had the Nokia.
With the number one game in America, Snake.
Yep.
Oh, that's the truth, man. that's my heyday right there. Don't go there. Everybody who had a Nexus, people thought you sold drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I know Lee had. I bet Lee had El Champion had a walkie-talkie up there in Maryland. I know he had one. Damn, that damn Nokia ringtone.
Oh, man. Everybody had that.
That was a standard ringtone.
Yep. But then I thought I was big time when I upgraded to my Razor.
To a who?
To a Razor.
Oh, the Motorola Razor?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but you remember... That came a little bit after the Razor, maybe a little bit before the PDA phone.
Uh-huh.
Big-ass BlackBerry, oh, my God. You couldn't tell nobody with a BlackBerry nothing. They just thought they was a junk. Yeah, I have to go into my BlackBerry to see, what's your BlackBerry, yo?
Oh, wait a minute, let me see.
Nobody care about that big-ass phone.
See if I got here. Was this BlackBerry? Well, that's one.
Yep.
There you go. These are different sound effects.
That's it, right there.
Hold on. There you go.
That one right there. And BlackBerry messages got a lot of people in trouble.
Now, I want to talk about something because you just referenced something here. And last week on this program, we were talking about Mr. Jones and his burrito. And sure enough, as we get off the air, the news breaks that John Witherspoon had passed away.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And the last movie he'll ever be in, Friday.
Boy. Well, and then he provided the voice on the Boondocks and
Granddad.
So you know,
Granddad.
I think this is my favorite Boondocks scene. It doesn't involve Granddad, but it's a great scene nonetheless. Hold on, let me fast forward a little bit. Here we go.
Man,
he did what all great leaders do. He told them the truth.
Will you ignorant niggas please shut the hell up?
He just said what I think he said.
Is this it? This is what I got all those ass whoopings for? I had a dream once. It was a dream that little black boys and little black girls would drink from the river of prosperity, freed from the thirst of oppression. But lo and behold, some four decades later, what have I found but a bunch of trifling, shiftless, good-for-nothing niggas. And
all right. And you know what I found online a couple days ago? I text you. It was the rehearsal movie for Karate Kid. The entire movie rehearsal, and they added the score soundtrack behind it. So
I watched Cobra Kai season 2 all over again.
I watched some of those too over the weekend, but I've been in a heavy Karate Kid thing these last couple days because it's the 35th anniversary, and I've just been, they showed, 1 and 2 on Saturday, I think it was.
I'm excited for Allie to come back. They need to let Dutch out of jail.
Really?
Dutch need to get out and go join Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai would really be evil if Dutch.
You know,
gotta have Dutch, Terry Silver, Mike Barnes, and Chosen.
But you know what? There are some fans out there that are just really stupid. There's somebody out there that put out a theory on what they think is going to happen. They think, because Ralph Macchio announced that Daniel LaRusso is going to go to Okinawa in season 3, and they suspect that he's going to get into a feud with Chosen over the Miyagi-Do, over the studio, over the karate.
I heard about that.
That's stupid.
Because Chosen going to say, Sato taught him.
Right, but that would be...
They're going to get into litigation about it.
So you're going to tell me that he's going to get into litigation and Johnny Lawrence is going to lose the Cobra Kai for the same exact reason? Because it's Kreese's karate? Give me a break.
This is going to be a classic. And I didn't know that YouTube signed him up for so many seasons.
How many seasons?
Like an 8-season deal or something like that.
Really?
Something like that, yeah.
Jesus, I didn't know that.
It's a big number.
I didn't know that. Wow. That means a lot of people love this show.
But you got to remember,
it's cheap for them to make it.
Yeah, they got people like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett.
Yeah, but this is a cheap show for them to produce. It doesn't cost them anything, so.
Because the people making the most money is who? Ralph Macchio.
And John Job.
Johnny.
What's this guy's name? Billy Zabka. There you go.
Yeah, Billy Zabka. Kreese is probably making good money.
He's probably making good money, yeah.
Bring him in.
Too bad Pat Morita is dead. But I also watched an interview that Pat Morita did about 10 years ago, or more, that the producer for The Karate Kid did not want to hire Pat Morita, because all he knew Pat Morita from was from Happy Days and Sanford and Son. And he says, I don't want no comedy guy doing a serious role.
But then the funny thing is, as the series went on, they started writing comedy stuff for him to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
A funny, funny little things, yeah.
Wow. Oh, let me tell you about this theory that I heard. I'll see if you heard it. How about Snake and the other dude is Terry Silver's sons? Oh, and they're going to take over Cobra Kai.
Oh, God.
Snake and what's the other fat one? Dennis. Dennis' last name is Silver. If you look up the wiki, look up. It's Dennis Silver, and then it says Snake. And they're going to get in litigation behind Cobra Kai.
That would be ridiculous.
I mean, they got to have somewhere to... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bring everybody in. And you know what really grind my gears season two? That episode where Daniel LaRusso came out and talking about, I thought about it. I was a Cobra Kai. He was a Cobra Kai for life. He had a cup of coffee with Cobra Kai. And he tried to make it seem like he ran around and bullied people. I mean, he did punch that dude in the nose in the club.
Yeah.
But Johnny Lawrence and them bullied people for, okay, the movie about an hour and a half. For what you say, though, a good 70 minutes.
Yeah.
Of the movie, they're villains.
Yeah.
And basically what they try to say is you join Cobra Kai, you're an asshole. And you're a prick. And John Kreese thought of a war at the school. I want to see if he's going to be prosecuted. Because he started that fight.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
We got a lot. That cliffhanger there. He needs to be held accountable for that. My condolences to Mr. Miyagi.
Pat Morita was billed as the hip nip.
Oh, my God.
Of comedy.
Bill was on Good Times, too.
Yeah.
He played the police.
Hold on. Let me see here.
Just want to throw that out there.
I pick out two of the toughest scenes.
This is Pat Morita.
In the script, which hadn't even been staged or choreographed, just working off the top of my head, improvising virtually, and read. And thank you very much. Nice to meet you, etc., etc. And as I leave, he says, Pat, don't you want to take your script with you? You might need it. That's the first little teeny, 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 tiny glimpse of maybe I got a shot at something here, right? So, and I learned this later on. Now they're in a pre-production meeting a few days later, and they're talking about the various things that got to be done to collectively pull the company together and all the usual myriad of problems. And during the process, John reaches over and clicks on the monitor. And Mega Mogul Jerry, you know, he starts talking about all the business, and he looks over and he goes, hey, wait a minute. That's a Miyagi. That looks like a Miyagi. Who the hell is that actor? And John says, that's the Pat Morita you refused to read for this part. The rest is history. They bring me in 5 times. They want to see if I can do it again. Then they bring Ralphie in. Fly him in from New York. They want to see if there's chemistry. We do it. They make us do it again. This time in costume, in front of the studio heads. The 5th time they bring me in, we're on a cold blank outline stage, no sets, nothing, but in costume. But they shoot it this time. Of course, they've been shooting it, the process all along the way, but this time for real. And to Jerry's credit, he gets on the horn, and says, Pat, I almost made the worst mistake of my life. I just want to be the first to congratulate you. You got the part of Miyagi. So that's why Miyagi talk like this, because he ran out of energy.
Oh, Pat Morita, man. If you were alive today, man, you'd be loving this.
Making bank.
Oh, man. And do you know, this is my neurosis that I have, you know, because I have OCD. I've made that very clear on the air. I'm a bit of obsessive person. And I was listening to the final music for the final fight in the original Karate Kid. That infamous scene, finish him! You know that one?
Yep.
I listened to it probably around 20 times this past weekend. Just that one little spot right there. Hold on, let me cue it up. Right, this part right here. Do you know that I listened to it so much that I almost started crying?
You got emotional.
I got emotional. I got emotional because LaRusso won. I've been watching this movie for 30 years. And I don't know what came. Even now, just listening to that music.
I told you the chick I dated.
The chick you dated what?
She couldn't watch the movie.
What?
Because she would cry when he would get bullied.
Oh, God.
I was like, bro, are you serious, yo? That's the first time I ever seen, heard of something that's like this. It's like, I just couldn't take it. Because what he be on my bitch? I'm like,
but yeah.
You in the way.
But yeah, it was.
But yeah. Double A, seriously, for this show to take the next level, Daniel and Comico gotta have a long love. Daniel gotta have another kid over there.
That he knocked her up while he was over there?
Yep.
And that kid's 30 years old now?
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Or he made a trip back before, around a little bit before he met his wife.
Apparently Chosen did a comedy video with Kumiko.
Yeah, I saw that video.
So,
that's what I'm saying. Because, you know, Alice coming back to fix the kid's neck, Miguel's neck or whatever. And she's probably going to be divorced, and you know how that's going to play out. Her and Johnny probably going to end up getting it finally.
But boy.
They got to have a kid over there, man. Because last season, the wife got mad at him for, you know, getting going head first with Miyagi, though. So now this season, she get mad. You have a kid, David? Wait a minute, baby. This is before you even, I even met you. I just made a trip back.
And it'll be that usual way that Daniel says, damn it. Damn it!
And then he got to bring his mom in and say, I have another grandchild. And then with that New York accent, oh my God. This stuff writes itself, I'm telling you.
Oh God, I love Daniel's mom. She's so cool.
She's like, fix it.
I really like your car, Mrs. LaRusso.
And I've noticed also,
God,
all the stuff Sam's dad, like Dave did, is happening to her. Like how she got embarrassed at the beach club.
Yeah.
I was like,
It's a reboot.
Yeah. Aha. She's going through her dad's
problems.
Yeah. And that damn, and that girl still should be suspended for coming on that microphone. We still trying to figure out That's unrealistic, yo. That, the cops would have been right down there.
Listen, George Washington Duke got a microphone plugged into the PA system. This girl got into the school PA system. So
she went to anything's the school possible. PA system. But okay, George Washington Duke had a mic in his pocket, his own mic. She went and knocked the girl out the way, called her the B word, Samantha LaRusso. You know what you did. And some math, and everybody theory is right. It's the Zach Morris theory on Samantha. Samantha is the villain of the show. She's a whore. I mean,
I have to see season 3 to give
she's
judgment.
She's sleeping with Robbie and she's messing with Robbie and
but
and
that doesn't make boy. But Zach is not the villain on Saved by the Bell. If you
but people tried, I said theory, they tried.
Yeah, they try to play that, but you know, yeah, Kelly's the villain.
But it actually works on somebody like you said, Kelly.
I think I need one more season to make that judgment.
Why do you need one more season?
I just
she's double dipping.
Yeah, but you can double dip and still.
If you double dip, you're the whore.
No, I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is, you double dip, but in when a lot of times you can double dip and be conflicted. Darlene was conflicted. I don't know if you've been watching The Conners.
Yes.
Okay, she was double dipping.
But she got caught.
She got caught. And she felt horrible for.
This girl got caught.
She felt horrible for double dipping.
But Sam don't feel horrible because she's doing it.
Well,
now the girl wanting to fight her, that's on the level. That's deserved because she's kissing her boyfriend. You got to give me that. She's wrong for that. In theory, she's wrong.
Yeah,
that's no different if Brenda would have caught Kelly and Dylan kissing when they was together.
Well. You know, I'm sure Kelly hooked up with Max, so.
Oh, you're talking about Kelly Kapowski. I'm talking about Kelly.
No, I'm talking about Kelly Kapowski hooking up with Max.
To get her job.
To get her job.
Jim gave her that job.
Yeah, but how the hell did she stay employed at the Max after that?
That's true. What was the guy's name? That
Max.
Was running? Max, isn't it? That's Ed Alonzo.
Ed Alonzo. Oh,
that's the actor. James.
James. He was a waiter, though.
I'm Dick Bell, baby.
I'm Dick Bell, dude. That's right.
By the way, Ms. Bell, he never referred to this stuff as Dick Bell.
Dude. No, he didn't.
He was always rich. Richard or Richie?
It's Richard Rodney.
Well, my point being, Samantha is the villain right now. Johnny's not the villain. Samantha and Crease are in Hulk. Samantha, it goes Samantha, Hulk, and Crease, number three.
This show, is doing such a good job in telling you who outright, without, you know, who's keeping the end from there's it's right. They're doing a very good job in keeping you in the lurch of just they're not going out and telling you this person is the villain. They're making you have to think and process and make your own conclusions.
I want to see that nerd dude with Hulk ass thing.
No, it'll happen. But apparently, that fat chick, the Samantha's friend, apparently she's not coming back.
What?
That's what I saw, but I don't know.
Oh man,
I don't know if that's true or not. But
she's Tori's friend now.
Yeah.
Well, oh my god. Oh. Man, that's not cool.
So, but it'll be interesting nonetheless. It'll be interesting nonetheless. All right. So, now that we talked about Chicken, we talked about The Karate Kid and Cobra Kai, we talked about things go, litigation.
Show's going on a hiatus.
Show's going on early, hiatus.
Early in the season.
You know.
I think Empire was here tonight, so I guess I'll close it up to that.
Oh, man. I'm going to switch this from... oh, no, I don't want to watch CNN. Where's my...
Steve Kornacki at the board.
Oh, man. All right, so... Let's talk about... Oh, I got some interesting news that I want to bring forth to the table.
Uh-oh.
And it, this is... It's entertaining news, okay? Here in the near future, on this program, we will be welcoming the host of The Rant.
Huh?
Exactly.
Samoa Joe?
No. We are going to be welcoming the host of The Rant in a couple of weeks. Or soon. Here in the future. We are going to... The host of The Rant is going to be on The Rant.
You're the host of The Rant.
Yes, I know. But the host of The Rant is going to be on here with us soon.
Man, you better quit playing these damn word games.
I'm not playing any word games. I'm dead serious.
Okay, say it again so I can...
Okay. The host of The Rant will be on this program, The Rant, in the near future.
The host of The Rant will be on the show, The Rant.
In the near future.
Who the hell is that?
Well, there is another wrestling show out there called The Rant. And I struck up a conversation with them recently. And... they're going to be on here. They're going to come on, and we're going to BS. So it's going to be the host of The Rant talking to the host of The Rant.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. When the hell did this transpire?
Recently.
Now, I got some questions.
Well, there's... Those you can save those questions for when that time comes. I can assure you that there is not any type of gimmick infringement here. I can guarantee you that it's not. There is.
So whose show was around first?
Our show was around first.
Okay, but we could so. Next question. Could we tie them up in litigation if we wanted to?
No, because they're friendly folk.
I'm saying if we wanted to, though.
Sure, if we wanted to.
Okay.
We're not going to, but yeah, we probably could.
So are they? Is their show on a network or just a podcast?
Their show is just out there.
Oh.
But it's not that it just appeared out of thin air. It's been there for a while, but it's migrated into The Rant now. Wasn't always The Rant.
And what do they talk about?
They talk about wrestling.
Oh.
So we're going to talk to the host of The Rant soon. So it'll be The Rant and The Rant on at the, you know, on together. So be on the lookout for that, folks, because that's coming.
And did you tell them you have a guy on your show called the Silver Surfer?
Well, I told them we have a very unique group of people as the family. We all got issues. I said all of us got problems. Some of us more than others. and you know the host of The Rant just chuckled. So
Wow.
Damn.
Well.
So be on the lookout. That's coming up here, probably before the close of the year.
Durant with the host of Durant.
That's right. That's right. All right. So I guess we got to get into some wrestling news, shall we? Because some interesting things happened this week. And let's start with Crown Jewel.
God.
Crown Jewel happened, and it was not a terrible show. It was a decent show, and the outcome of that was that Bray Wyatt is now the Universal Champion, and if you watched any of the TV programs this past week, is a part of SmackDown, Brock Lesnar, the WWE Champion, who defeated Cain Velasquez in 2 minutes, is now a part of Monday Night Raw. Now, let's start with why did Brock Lesnar beat Cain Velasquez in 2 minutes? Well, Cain Velasquez went into the match with an injured knee. They knew the knee was injured. They just didn't know how bad the knee was injured. So, they just decided to end the match quickly. End of story.
He wasn't in good enough shape to do a whole...
To do a whole wrestling match. So he got a good, and he got a good payday for that event, for that 2 minutes he wrestled. So, speaking of paydays, though, there is a lot of uncertainty,
scuttlebutt,
on what's going on in Saudi Arabia. Because for those of you that watched SmackDown this past Friday, noticed that SmackDown was missing something. The roster.
A bunch of people.
The roster, essentially. And that was because the plane carrying the superstars back from Saudi Arabia was delayed.
The plane, boss.
The plane. So here's essentially what happened. So, Crown Jewel went off the air, and much like what happened on Monday, last Monday, the talent had to haul ass to the airport so that they could make TV on Friday. Because we sat on here last week and joked at the fact that these people had to go and do live TV in Buffalo, New York, of all places. And you want to hear the irony of this, Tony C?
What's the irony?
That SmackDown this coming week will be taped from Manchester, England. So, they could have just done Crown Jewel this week and then gone to England, which would have been a short flight, and done SmackDown. But no, that did not happen. But anyways, so the plane was delayed for what was said to be mechanical issues. And the WWE, that put WWE into a scramble because they needed their talent to do SmackDown. They had a program focused around most of the talent that was on that plane. And they didn't know what to do. WWE in the interim had found a way to get a second plane and get the talent on the second plane and try to make it to Buffalo. But as the day went further on, it looked like that second plane carrying about 20 superstars, actually, was not going to make it to Buffalo. So, WWE made a phone call down to Orlando, Florida, and down to Tony C's neck of the woods, and they rallied up as many NXT talent as they could, put them all on a plane, and flew them up to Buffalo to compensate the absence of the remaining superstars, and that ultimately allowed NXT to invade SmackDown and take over the show. And we'll talk about SmackDown here in a second. But to continue with this is that there was supposed to be a Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT storyline going to Survivor Series regardless. how, if it was, I don't think it was supposed to happen this way, but that was already on paper for the storyline, that this feud between the brands was going to happen. The plane from Orlando landed in Buffalo, New York at 7:55. A police escort had to escort the bus carrying the superstars to the arena. And 3 segments in, when Shayna Baszler came out and attacked Bayley, that's when the superstars finally arrived to the building. They were scrambling to write that show on the fly, basically. And a lot
the
of
real definition of live.
The and a lot of people were saying that when WWE's back is against the wall, that's when WWE truly shines. And boy, oh boy, did they shine on Friday night. But let's go back to Saudi Arabia. So while all this is going on in Buffalo, New York, there's 175 WWE personnel stuck in Saudi Arabia. And the only people that left Saudi Arabia immediately after Crown Jewel are the following six people. Vince McMahon, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Jimmy Hart.
And you know Brock got out of there early because he was a curtain jerker.
Exactly. Now
Brock and Heyman were gone early.
Yeah, Brock was already in the air before the show went off the air, probably. And that's why Brock was on SmackDown. And actually, you know what was funny? There was mechanical issues with Flair and Hogan's plane.
Yep.
So when they stopped off in Iceland, Brock Lesnar picked them up and took them the rest of the way home. So, anyways.
Hey, brother. We're stuck over in Iceland. How close are you? Oh, we're about to pass up. Can you stop over and pick us up, brother?
So,
see Heyman negotiating that deal.
Exactly. You know, Heyman, you know what Heyman used to do, right, to get immediate flights? He used to call and tell everybody to book a bereavement flight and to change the name of the decedent. And Chris Jericho tells a famous story about how Ron Simmons one time had to book a bereavement flight for the death of his cousin Samuel Goldberg. Oh man, let me see if I can find that Chris Jericho.
Man, Heyman know how to get over.
Let me see W. Hold on. ECW story. Hold on, because it was one of those things that it's just, you can't make it up. If I find it, I'll play it. But
Heyman is a Jew, so yeah. You know how.
Oh, man. The rest of the talent was over in Saudi Arabia, and all we heard was that there was mechanical issues with the plane. Mechanical issues with the plane. Well, why don't you get another plane, right?
And of course.
Stick everybody on the plane. Well, we heard that the superstars and everybody were stuck on the tarmac inside the plane for like 6 hours before they were allowed to disembark. It wasn't until Saturday that the information started coming out about what really happened. And we still don't have confirmation that this is the truth, because WWE is going with that there was mechanical issues with the plane. Here's supposedly what happened. Okay? Now, this is all unconfirmed, but this is the story that, for the most part, everybody's leaning in the direction of. Vince had not been paid for Super Showdown back in June. And what he did was he pulled the plug on airing Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. And when things got organized and whatnot, they put the show on the air, but on a 45-minute delay. We don't know if Vince pulled the plug or the show was purposely aired on a 45-minute delay. We don't know. But the story that's going around is that Vince pulled the plug on the show. That pissed off the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. And to get revenge, he held the talent plane hostage at the airport. That's the rumor going around. WWE denies it, says it was all a mechanical issue. In fact, apparently WWE has extended their agreement with Saudi Arabia.
But now don't nobody want to go over there.
Nobody wants to go to Saudi Arabia.
Go back.
So, we don't know what's going on. Because Vince, and a lot of people are upset with Vince because, you know, Vince knew the Titanic was going to go under and Vince jumped ship. Vince left. And he just watched everybody stranded from afar.
Vince, was he on the plane with Brock and
No, Vince was on his own private jet.
Oh.
So I don't know.
That's too funny. And nobody wants to go back to Saudi Arabia now. That is hilarious, yo.
Oh, boy.
We ain't going back.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, I don't know. What do you think about this? I mean, this is...
this crazy.
You don't screw with the Saudi government. I've learned
somebody
that.
Somebody can come up missing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I can't blame them guys for not wanting to go back. I wouldn't go back unless I had a private jet like Brock.
Yeah, but not everybody's going to get that. Especially for a hundred and some, you know, 75. That's why they rent the private plane, the chartered plane that is for the entire crew.
Roster, yeah. And Triple H ain't even go over there.
No,
so you know
he was trick-or-treating. Well, no. he had to stay behind and run SmackDown.
That's true, what I'm saying. Was Shane over there?
Well, Shane hasn't been working, so I don't know. Maybe Shane was over there.
Oh. I ain't going. Because what, they probably got another Saudi show before the year out, or they do that?
No. The next one will probably be
after the Rumble, right?
It'll be after WrestleMania.
Oh.
So,
okay, so they do two a year. The Saudi, the Super Show and then Crown Jewel, right?
Yeah. So
it's going to be very interesting to see who show up at that Super Show.
I know. So, I don't know. Don't screw with the Saudi government. And Vince, you risked 175 people. Vince didn't leave 5 people behind. Vince left 170. What would have happened if God forbid? Okay?
They tried to hurt them or something?
They did something to the plane. Okay?
Like they did that reporter.
Yeah. What
That how, blood would have been on Vince's hand.
But how do you continue on as an organization after that?
They probably would shut down after that.
You know? What are you just gonna? Are you just gonna continue SmackDown and just call everybody up from NXT to fill the vacancies?
Business as usual.
Business as usual.
It's a damn shame what happened to them wrestlers over there.
is that what it's gonna be?
Like old boy said, I'm coming to America. Damn shame. 10 bell salute for all of them, huh?
That's a long. That's 10 times 175. That's what, 1,000?
1,700.
Yeah, 1,750 bells.
Oh my God.
We'll be back we'll continue with the bell salute right after this timeout. I mean,
them bells lose the carry over to SmackDown.
They'd have to put a counter on the screen.
they'll carry over to NXT on Wednesday.
On Wednesday. And maybe on the main event in syndication.
Yep.
And by the way, I learned this past week that WWE still produces Afterburn and Bottom Line, for those of you that are curious. I don't know why I'm putting that information out there, but they still produce those two TV shows.
Afterburn, wow. I ain't heard that name.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't go back to... First of all, you'd have to do a lot of convincing to get me to go in the first place. But if this happens, damn sure I ain't going back.
I ain't even going over there messing with all this fuck.
Like, some of the talent was smart. They didn't wait for another charter. They went out on their own, like Cesaro. Cesaro got on the first plane he could find to get out, and Cesaro went to Ireland.
He said, "Buck, come to New York. I'm going to Ireland.
I'm going to Ireland." And he posted on Twitter or something. It's, "Sorry, folks, I won't be on SmackDown tonight because I'm in Ireland." You know, and...
You ain't finna get me.
Yeah.
That's too funny. 1,750 bell tone.
Yeah.
Over there messing with them Saudis.
And, but then, you know, SmackDown, the fallout from that was that SmackDown was, as we like to say, stupendous.
It
was an excellent show. Of course, on commentary was Tom Phillips, Renee Young. Tom Phillips probably was giddy because he was like, "Ha! You guys thought you got rid of me." And Aiden English. They were on commentary. Of course, Aiden English. I still don't understand why Aiden English only did the first two segments, because then he was replaced by Pat McAfee, probably the first man to do commentary wearing a tank top and jorts.
Not the Pat McAfee of the former punter.
Yes, that Pat McAfee.
Doesn't he do football too?
Yes, he does.
He was just on ESPN with a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, but I guess his first love right now is wrestling, especially NXT. And Renee Young was there as well.
Because he was somewhere on Halloween, Texas.
Right.
He was in Baylor.
And they said that Pat, I'm going to play you what it was here that... Pat McAfee said, because they did an interview with Pat McAfee after SmackDown went off the air, and this is what he had to say.
Teaching Pat McAfee about makeup wipes over here. Hectic evening, but so much fun. What all went down? What transpired? Tell me your thoughts.
Just a fun night. I mean, it was so chaotic that there was no time to prepare for anything, no time to get stressed about anything. I mean, we got the call pretty last minute. I found out last night when we knew that there were some mechanical issues over in Saudi Arabia that I was probably doing commentary, but maybe I was doing backstage interviews. I really didn't know until later today. It was like, you're doing it. So here we are.
Yeah, and much like I got the text at 1:42 p.m. from today from Mr. H that says, have you heard there have been some travel issues? Can you make your way to Buffalo? Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, literally lent me his plane.
Wow.
So
I good friends. I
like yours.
I didn't know we were that good of friends, to be honest. I was throwing a Hail Mary, and he responded and said, yeah. So I got here about an hour and a half before the show and to work with Renee, Tom, and be on SmackDown with a bucket of makeup on my face.
You're
I mean,
good, though.
Thank you.
That's why he has to know about the makeup.
Makeup, well, yeah. This has been a dream come true bucket list type situation here in beautiful Buffalo, New York.
Dude, we got...
So, there you go.
No, the thing is, Irsay friends with Vince. That's what it is.
Well, let me piggyback off that. Because there was also some speculation out there that Vince called the Trump administration to intervene.
I heard about that.
To intervene and have, you know, tell them to release the talent and get that plane off the ground. Because the plane did not leave Saudi Arabia until like 1 a.m. Saturday morning. So, yeah.
To call.
But yeah, it was an interesting night.
Donald,
and
my friend.
Exactly. That's pretty much what it must have sounded like.
What's going on, my friend?
And all they pretty much said on SmackDown when the show started was mechanical issues. That's the story they're going with. Here's the
open. So if the Saudis would have did something to them, what would they have said? They died of mechanical issues?
Maybe, I don't know. Here was the open to SmackDown.
Presented by Progressive, your first round choice for auto insurance. Well, this evening we're feeling the fallout from the Crown Jewel event yesterday. Some very unique circumstances surrounding that event. More on that later tonight. Obviously, some mechanical issues affecting the plane returning from Crown Jewel. With that, Corey Graves and Michael Cole unable to be here tonight. I'm Tom Phillips alongside former NXT Tag Team Champion Aiden English and FS1's WWE Backstage host Renee.
And it went right into Brock Lesnar quitting SmackDown. and let me see. Can we play that part with
Ultimate Peace?
Hold on. We're going to fast forward here. Because they replayed the entire match of Brock versus Cain Velasquez.
Ability to take down
and
the
Jim Cornette, by the way, his theory was, and I believe that Triple H told Paul, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go out there and kill as much time as possible until I know the talent is on the way to the building.
That sounds about right.
And Paul killed, I believe, 15 minutes.
Yeah, that opening set, man, it was long.
Brock Lesnar attained retribution, got revenge, vanquished Velasquez. And then, after the greatest, the most epic, the most spiritually orgasmic moment of Brock Lesnar's professional career, what happened? Then came your hero, Rey Mysterio. Once again, not as articulate as I am, but the footage speaks for itself.
And of course, they were showing a lot of the footage from Crown Jewel.
Like hell.
There we go.
My client, Brock Lesnar, and I went to Vince McMahon. If you don't know who that is, Google him, bitches. The chairman of the board.
the owner of the company, and said, now, just like Rey Mysterio delivered Cain Velasquez like a sacrificial piñata to the beast Brock Lesnar, you will serve Rey Mysterio up to Brock Lesnar. Do you know what Vince McMahon said? He said, oh, I can't do that. What the hell can't Vince McMahon do? Why? Check out this flimsy, stupid excuse. Because SmackDown superstars are contractually obligated to be exclusive to Fox, and Raw superstars are obligated by contract to be exclusive to USA Network. So Rey Mysterio is a Raw superstar, and he can't be served up on SmackDown to the WWE Heavyweight Champion, Brock Lesnar. So if Rey Mysterio can't come to SmackDown for Brock Lesnar, then as of this Monday, Brock Lesnar is going to come to Raw looking for Rey Mysterio. And if anybody, a network, a chairman of the board, WWE itself, has a problem with that, what the hell are you going to do about it? Stop Brock Lesnar when he's looking for revenge? You're going to call out the Marines, the 82nd Airborne? You're going to fine Brock Lesnar, suspend Brock Lesnar, ban Brock Lesnar from WWE? You're going to threaten Brock Lesnar with litigation? My people invented litigation. My people perfected litigation. We will sue WWE right back. So here it is.
Here it is, Tony C.
My people invented litigation. They perfected litigation. That is right there.
Oh, man. But yeah, and then that's when it was after that segment is when the NXT invasion started. Shayna Baszler dropped.
Okay, so.
Go ahead.
Here's my issue with this whole Rey Mysterio storyline.
Why is he picking on Mysterio?
Okay, I understand why he's picking on Rey Mysterio, because Rey Mysterio brought in Cain Velasquez.
No, because he picked on Mysterio from before.
Well, that's because of the kid thing. But Rey Mysterio beating Brock Lesnar. We finna get another Brock Lesnar losing that SummerSlam again. I mean, that Survivor Series again.
I don't know, but
come on,
it's gonna be very interesting to see what happens. Because I gotta tell you,
why even have a match if Rey Mysterio ain't gonna win?
I don't know. For Brock to do. I gotta tell you though, I loved Rey beating the hell out of Brock last night. With that lead pipe.
The Scott Steiner lead pipe.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Of course, Paul Heyman was just...
beside himself.
He said things this past week. In the last 7 days, Paul Heyman has cut some scurrilous, scathing promos. When he told Jerry Lawler that if you die again on the air, nobody's going to be around to resuscitate you.
And who was that guy that stood up and got his ass whooped?
That's Dio Madden, a color commentator.
So what, he going to help Rey Mysterio win the championship?
No, Dio's in-ring career, which didn't do anything because they plucked him from NXT to be a color commentator. Let's take you back to what Paul Heyman said.
Where's Rey Mysterio? Who the hell are you anyway?
Oh, that was a great line too, by the way.
Where's Rey Mysterio? You. It's the king! You know everything.
By the way, I gotta tell you why Paul Heyman can say stuff like that. there is an old story in the wrestling industry.
Because he a Jew?
No. That when Paul Heyman was breaking into the industry, he went to work in Memphis managing Tommy Rich and Austin Idol in a program against Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee. Jerry Lawler was the owner of the territory, and Jerry booked the match between him and Dundee against Tommy Rich and Austin Idol to be a scaffold match. And scaffold matches were very popular in Memphis. And as part of the thing that Lawler wanted to do, he told Heyman he wanted Heyman to get up on the scaffold. And Heyman said, "I ain't getting up on the scaffold." He said, "We've been building up this program. Everybody wants to see you get your ass up on the scaffold." And Heyman said, "I ain't getting up on the scaffold." And the story goes, and Jerry Lawler has said that this is true, that a couple days later, at another town in Arkansas, he went backstage and was so pissed with Paul Heyman for not getting up on that scaffold, he reared back and decked Paul Heyman and broke his jaw. So, Heyman probably has some bitterness towards Jerry Lawler. Just putting that out there.
Tell me, Jerry Lawler, where's Rey Mysterio? Tell me, or I'm going to unleash the beast on you. And if I unleash Brock Lesnar on you, no one will resuscitate you when you die on the air again. Where is Rey Mysterio?
I don't...
go. He beat the hell out of Brock with that lead pipe. And could you imagine if Mysterio did hit Heyman?
He's been in litigation.
Oh my God. So
I'm just saying.
So going back to SmackDown, NXT invaded, did a great job. The main event was an NXT title match, Daniel Bryan versus Adam Cole, in which Adam Cole won. And then Triple H got on mic and cut a promo basically declaring war on the rest of the WWE.
Excuse me, I have to go join my compadres. We are NXT November 1st, 2019 Grand SmackDown Ball.
One of the greatest SmackDowns of all time. We knew that tonight.
Thunder, you got it. Survivor Series. You want to pick a fight with us? Raw, SmackDown versus NXT. Well, if we're gonna have a fight, then I'm gonna need an army. What do you do when you wanna build an army? You look to your blood. You look to your family. And you build an army for a fight. This is our army. This is our fight. This is our ring. And it's Survivor Series. Know what you're getting into. We have now fired the first shot. Raw, SmackDown. Let's see what you got. Just remember one thing. We are NXT.
And that is that. So, now we gotta know. Last night on Raw, NXT also had their presence felt, though not to the degree of what happened on SmackDown. And Shayna Baszler, you should not. You're a great wrestler. I think you're great as the NXT Women's Champion. You should not be cutting promos because you sound like a 13-year-old boy.
That's so fun.
But I'm curious now. They've got me vested, and I'm curious to see what's going to happen tomorrow night on NXT, because I'm going to tell you something. I gave it 6 weeks for the ratings to turn around on NXT. Last Wednesday was game 7 of the World Series. So the numbers in general took a hit. But I'm curious now. The go-home show for AEW Dynamite to their pay-per-view on Saturday night, Full Gear, against the first NXT post the initial attack on SmackDown. It's going to be very interesting tomorrow night.
NXT going to take over Raw shortly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they tried a little bit last night, but NXT is going to... And you know what I think is going to happen? I think the Raw and SmackDown is going to ultimately put over NXT.
So you think Adam Cole going to beat the Bray Wyatt? Well, he going to beat The Fiend?
I don't know if he's going to face The Fiend in a... I don't think they're going to have a triple threat match.
Well, I know that because Brock fighting...
Brock's Ray. Facing yeah. Ray. I believe it's going to be there's a rumor going around that there could possibly be a Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT War Games match at Survivor Series. So...
Well, you know they're probably going to do a Survivor Series type match.
Yeah. So, we're going to see what happens. We're definitely going to see what happens. There's already matches being lined up for the Survivor Series. It's already been announced. It's going to be Bayley against Becky Lynch against Shayna Baszler. The Revival versus the Undisputed Era versus the War Raiders. It's going to be Roderick Strong versus AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And I believe that's all the matches that have been announced so far.
And the Velveteen Dream got to be on this pay-per-view now.
I don't know about the Survivor Series. He's going to be a takeover, though.
Oh, they're still doing a takeover?
There's still going to be a takeover the night before.
Okay.
Featuring the first all-women's War Games match.
So, taking out the War Games cage.
Yep. And, you know, when I heard William Regal needs more TV time, I think. I understand that why his role is
diminished
as the NXT general manager. And he's not, you know, on there that much. But, oh, man, when he announced that it was going to be an... the way he does it is just, he gets in there like, I've got a way that we can settle this. War Games! He just screams it just like that. Let me see if I can cue it up here. Here we go.
War Games!
There you go.
What? For this.
This is complete chaos!
I've got a very simple solution for this. War Games!
There you go.
There it is, Sunshine.
We just saw women's history here in NXT!
So it's going to be a 4-on-4 War Games match. It's going to be, let me see here. It's going to be, let me see if I can figure out who's in this goddamn match. Because I don't follow NXT as diligent as the rest, but that's not to say that they don't deserve
to be followed.
To be followed, but let's see here. It is going to be it's going to be a team being headlined by Shayna Baszler against a team being headlined by Rhea Ripley. So,
gotcha.
So there you go. So I'm excited. I'm excited. Big Show season, definitely not the norm this year. It's been very active.
Going away from Big Show season this year.
Yep. And so we're going to see. We're going to see. We are living some very, very interesting times.
The only thing is, AA, I don't like with these title champions fighting each other.
Yeah.
No titles. Fine.
Yeah, they're just standard triple threat matches.
Yeah, I can't stand it. One thing about me, that's a pet peeve of mine in wrestling. Non-title matches with champion really grinds my gears.
Yeah, but what are you going to have? Somebody walk away with both belts?
Yeah.
You can do that once, but you can't do that 3-4 times in a show.
That's why you're having the match for brand supremacy. Whoever see who's the better champion.
I guess.
And whoever's the better champion, now your ass got to be on a couple shows.
Now, AEW has a pay-per-view on Saturday night. I'd still need to go back and watch the Rock and Roll Express be attacked with a loaded sock. So, I didn't like too much. I the whole thing with Tony Schiavone palling around with Cody Rhodes. I text Lee and Tony C while that was going on and told them that I think Tony was going to turn on Cody Rhodes.
Yes,
it's still possible, just because it hasn't happened yet. You know, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But real quickly, just to run down the card for what's going to happen this coming Saturday from the Baltimore Arena in Baltimore, Maryland, Lee's backyard, the same place where they killed somebody for a Popeye's chicken sandwich. It's going to be a non-sanctioned match. John Moxley versus Kenny Omega. Yawn. Adam Page versus Pac. That match was supposed to take place, I believe, at another pay-per-view, and it never happened. During the pre-show, which will air on Bleacher Report Live and YouTube and things like that, will be B. Priestley versus Dr. Britt Baker, who, by the way, is the girlfriend of the current NXT heavyweight champion, Adam Cole. And for those of you that missed it this past week, Adam Cole was spotted in the audience at AEW. So, the Young Bucks will face Santana and Ortiz. And your main event for the AEW World Championship, Chris Jericho, the champion, defends against Cody. That's all the matches that have been advertised, which means the rest of that pay-per-view is going to be a lot of filler. That's not good, considering that they've had 5 weeks of TV now. So, I don't know why.
Yeah, over a month build.
They've had over a month build, but they've had 5 weeks of consistent television where they could have built this full pay-per-view card by now. So, you know, unless that Cody Rhodes match is going to last 50 hours.
You know it's going to last long, and it's going to have a crazy finish.
So we'll see what happens. That's this Saturday.
How much is that pay per view?
$55.
Damn.
You have to really want to see it to pay that money.
And WWE is only how much?
$10. Well, WWE, if you still are going the traditional pay-per-view route, you're paying $50-$60. But why would you do that when you could watch the WWE Network?
Yeah, for $10, yeah.
So we'll see. And then the next time that there is a All Elite Wrestling pay-per-view will be sometime in the month of January. So
damn, they ain't doing one in December?
No, that's the next pay-per-view supposedly in January.
They supposed to stomp with the big dogs doing the pay-per-view every other.
No, I think the initial thing was that they were going to do 8 pay-per-views a year. I think that's the number I heard. So they're not going to be doing it all the time. And I think that's
it. They must gonna have title changes on TV and stuff.
Probably. But I guess that's it. I think we've covered all the news. We've covered all the top stories. Of course, Surfer is betting his dimes and his nickels out there in Vegas.
What title match is scheduled for SmackDown on Friday?
I don't know.
I just saw.
Let me see. Is there a title match? Maybe there's a women's title match scheduled on SmackDown.
Oh, is it Bayley?
Maybe. It's possible.
No, she's a fighting champion. Randy Orton just re-up with.
Let's see here.
WWE.
Oh, and there was a lot of reports going around that Randy Orton was possibly leaving, and now he's not going anywhere because WWE was able to ink a new deal with Randy Orton, and it's a multi-year deal. But I thought Randy had like a 20-year deal with WWE.
Well, it's a tag team title match: the Revival versus New Day versus Kofi and Big E again.
So they, and Ryan Ryan Satin of I believe it's he works for Sports Illustrated, has been hired by the WWE, and he will be an analyst on the Fox Sports 1 show WWE Backstage.
They really trying to wrestle like it's legit.
Yeah.
This is too much.
Oh, this is too much.
When I was done, when I saw them war room, draft war rooms, like there was NFL, I was like, this is too much. This is too much.
Oh,
and what about The Rock going to UFC?
Oh, yeah. Can what we talk about with The Rock? Bringing out the BMF championship. Could this, please, will somebody listen to me? And for a change, this is becoming too WWE-esque. He even came out to his theme song.
Oh, so he bought that out at the UFC.
He brought it out at the UFC event in Madison Square Garden.
That Trump was at?
Yeah.
He got booed?
Yeah.
That they paid $60,000 for him to show up?
Uh-huh.
Dana White, by the way, he must be hemorrhaging. I mean, he must be loaded to pay $60,000. If Trump got $60,000, how much you think The Rock got? $100,000? Because The Rock is way more popular than him. I'm just saying.
I mean, let me see here. Can we Here's a little audio from The Rock's entrance with the BMF Championship. Yeah. There you go. So
next thing you know, this BMF championship gonna be defended 24/7.
I don't know, but you know, the BMF championship. Obviously, we know what BMF stands for, and there was a time in wrestling that there was a similar championship. Let's take you back to about 20 something years ago when Taz was the FTW World Champion. So,
how far are we from a UFC tag team match?
I'm probably not that far. Or a UFC triple threat match. The following contest, scheduled for one fall, is a UFC triple threat match.
For the UFC championship.
The following contest is a ladder match for the UFC championship. And I guarantee you, when that happens, Tony C, there's still going to be people out there that are going to say, well, the UFC is real.
What you going to say? That's a real ladder they use. That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Exactly.
It wasn't a gimmick ladder. Well, when WWE buys UFC, that's when you'll know. Because that days are coming.
I guess.
Or they're going to merge one out of two. It's going to become like UFC
will
NXT
be a will be a subsidiary. Oh, UFC is going to be the developmental league?
Yep.
You got to know how to do an MMA fight before you get to the main roster.
Just in case. If you can't make it in WWE, where you going to go? Mm-hmm. UFC. I'm telling you, Dana's going to get a spot on WrestleMania pretty soon. Within the next, I'm calling it right now, within the next 2 years, it's going to be a UFC. I'm going to give it 3 years. That'll put us at 2022, 2024, something like that. It will be a UFC title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
A joint production, and now WWE and the Ultimate Fighting Championship presents WrestleMania.
Could you imagine that the ring announcer, Bruce Buffer, the following contest is a UFC Hell in a Cell match. And then the cell starts to lower.
Lowering down
over the octagon, exactly. Oh,
that's when CM Punk gonna come back. You'll know when UFC and WWE is on the same terms, because CM Punk will be jumping from both him, Brock Lesnar, and a couple other people. Watch. That's I'm calling it right now. Cause CM Punk, I believe, is close to coming back. They talking right now. It's the Triple H factor keeping them away.
Yeah. The premiere of WWE Vince backstage is going to start in about 2 minutes, and no, you will not see CM Punk on that program, by the way.
Cause Triple H won't allow it. Let me ask you this seriously. If Triple H was not in the equation, Would Phil Brooks be in WWE right now?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know, man.
Because you know Vince don't give a damn.
I guess.
Vince is all about this, that money. He'll have CM Punk come out there and cost Rey Mysterio the championship. Just because. I mean, he already did that before. I mean, you mean to tell me if Vince can have CM Punk show up at Survivor Series to avenge his SummerSlam loss from what? 5 years ago? Yeah. No, 3 years ago, something like that?
More than that. He's been gone from the WWE for like 5 years now.
That's what I'm saying. Brock was the last feud, right?
I think so. No. His last feud was The Undertaker, I believe.
Oh, it was that one with The Undertaker?
I believe it was.
So there you go.
Oh, man.
And he just turned 40-something too, right?
Hey, ain't no spring chicken.
And he'll come back and start being prime part-timer just like he was complaining about.
Boy, let's see if we can pipe up this audio real quick just so that we can hear the
beginning of this new show. I heard somebody coming back at the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
It's gonna win the 17th championship at WrestleMania.
John and then Cena. Retire.
Yep.
Is that because you just saw him on the TV screen?
That made me think of what I just heard, the rumor I heard. Yep. Which would make sense for him to do that and then just walk away. Win it, then drop the belt.
Leave the title in abeyance.
Yep, sit it down. Now the question is, who is he beating?
Huh. Lesnar?
Oh, it's going to be the Fiend. It's going to be the Fiend. Because it's going to be that title that he never won.
Let me see here.
He's never been the Universal Champion.
Nope. I don't think he's ever contended for the Universal title either.
Now, how does this belt make...
There'll be a replay of SmackDown after this, by the way.
This belt makes no sense being on Fox. Because we know why it was called a Universal Championship on Raw.
Yeah.
Why was it called that, though, Lee?
After the WWE Universe.
Nope. NBC Universe.
Oh, okay. Look at this. So here we go. Here's the intro to WWE Backstage.
HB Shovel. Oh God, Gronk, really? Paige got that stuff out of her eyes.
And later, Fox Sports own Rob Gronkowski walks us through his WrestleMania.
Got that moodle sauce out of her eyes.
And we are kicking things off right here with the 16-time champion. Huge thank you to John Cena. You guys can catch him in Playing with Fire in theaters everywhere this Friday. Now, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, holy crap! It's our premiere episode.
It's the premiere episode, but they've done three of these shows already.
For real.
You know? But this is what it's going to be every Tuesday night at 11 o'clock here on FS1.
In a horrible spot. A horrible spot on a cable network. yeah, that everybody can't get.
To do a live TV show. I mean, they need to bump it up a couple of hours.
I think Fox is going to get out of this.
And Paige is wearing makeup on her chest.
Yes.
Just so you know, because her chest is covered in ink.
So. I think Fox is... This is going to be a one round. I don't think they're going to renew.
They won't renew, but remember, Elias, I told you last week, 5 years, Tony C. 5 years.
Well, yeah, we're 60 months. But once them 60 months...
It's a car note.
I think Fox is going to be like, oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Y'all can go on back over there to USA. Y'all good.
Yeah.
They tried, though. I mean, Fox is... I don't think Fox is trying, though. They just... I don't think they trying. I think they got WWE just for the name only. If their name was WCW or ECW, Fox wouldn't have did it.
I guess.
But, I mean, they put their two shows on, 11, one on at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and then the other one's at 8 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, but the Friday night show, that's still a big deal. Despite being on a lousy day, it's still a big deal. So, I don't know.
I don't think they're coming back to Fox.
No, I don't think so either. Year. I don't think so.
You think this is a 5-year experiment?
That's it. After the 5 years are up, that's it. It's not like
the run was good, boys.
It's not like the UFC thing where they had, I believe they signed only a 1-year deal with the UFC.
Yeah, and then they signed 5 years.
Yeah, they signed 5 years with the WWE.
So do you think they got a buyout?
I don't know. It's got to be a pretty stiff one for WWE. Like, meaning Fox would have to pay the WWE a lot of money. So
I don't see these numbers. They numbers getting...
If they're... Well, listen, I told you that the ratings in general for Friday night SmackDown have been good for Friday night on Fox.
Yes.
So.
I think once Empire go off the air, if they move it to Tuesday nights in that Empire spot, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Right where SmackDown was on USA.
But they're not. That's not going to happen, though. They won't give up a key night like that for a wrestling show.
Even when Empire gone?
Even with Empire gone.
They want them to fail then. They don't want them to do... I guess it's not like you... I guess because USA and WWE go way...
Mm-hmm.
So. They got love for WWE.
We'll see. We're going to see what happens. Well, I think with that, we're going to wrap it up. Want to let everybody know that Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be live on Friday with Phil, Choppy, and Jay. Then the Shining Wizards will be live next Tuesday, 7 o'clock right here on the network. But also we want to let everybody know that the Shining Wizards will be celebrating their 8th anniversary with a live special. They will be on location. And you definitely want to be a part of that. It's going to be a big night. Thursday, November 23rd, right here on Rant EM Radio. And for some reason, I can't pull up the guest. Oh, here we go. Thursday, November 21st, 7 p.m., live right here, Rant EM Radio. They're going to be live at the Ale Elementary. That's in Hackensack, New Jersey. 58 Voorhees Lane in Hackensack. They're going to have a lot of special guests. Some of the guests already announced. They're going to have Falaba from Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor's Leon St. Giovanni, Crowbar, and Sirius XM host of Busted Open Radio, Dave LaGreca. They will all be a part of the 8th anniversary show for the Shining Wizards. Like I said, it'll be taking place at the Elementary Brewing Company, Thursday, November 21st, 7 p.m., live right here, rantemradio.com. So you definitely want to be a part of that. We will be here next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. We'll recap everything that happened on Raw, SmackDown, and of course, we're going to talk about what happens tomorrow night on NXT. So tune in next Tuesday as we're going to recap everything that's going on. And we'll give you something that we haven't talked about too much. We're going to talk ratings next week because the ratings are going to get very interesting now for all three TV shows. So we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what happens. Tony, see any final thoughts from you?
No, sir. Have fun.
All right. I had fun as well. And with that, and don't forget, coming up here before the year's out, the host of The Rant will be here on The Rant. So for Tony C, I'm Double A. For everybody in the chat room and everybody listening live, have a good night. Wait a minute. You know what? I haven't done this in a couple of weeks. This little thing here. Have a good night, everybody. It didn't want to play. Come on. Wrong drop. Come on. I'll settle for that. Have a good night, everybody.